Welcome to Rights for Women, a podcast all about celebrating women's voices and supporting women writers. I'm Pamela Cook, women's fiction author, writing teacher, mentor, and podcaster. Each week on The Convo Couch, I'll be chatting to a wide range of women writers, focusing on the heart, craft, and business of writing, along with a new release feature author each month. You can listen to the episodes on any of the major podcasting platforms or directly from the Rights for Women website, where you'll also find the transcript of each chat and the extensive Rights for Women backlist. On a personal writing note, my current release is All We Dream. You can check out my website at pamelacook.com.au. Before beginning today's chat, I would like to acknowledge and pay my respects to the Dharawal people, the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is being recorded, along with the traditional owners of the land throughout Australia, and pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. And a quick reminder that there could be strong language and adult concepts discussed in this podcast, so please be aware of this if you have children around. Now, let's relax on the convo couch and chat to this week's guest.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another week of Rights for Women. It's great to be able to come to you today from my very new but very old vintage van, Virginia. I recently purchased this van after speaking to Holly Ringland, and I've been following Holly's adventures in Frenchie for some time and been quite envious, in a good way, of her lovely van Frenchie. And when I spoke to Holly, she was actually in Frenchie, and it just really inspired me to go hunting. And I was really lucky to just find a van very quickly. So Virginia is her name, named after Virginia Woolf, for a room of one's own, because all of us girls need one. And she is a 1958 Globetrotter. So I've now been introduced to the wonderful world of vintage vans. And this particular van, Virginia, has been beautifully renovated. You can check out some photos on Instagram if you'd like to have a look, by a lovely gentleman who just took her on as a project. And supposedly she is the van from the Cold Chisel album, Circus Animals, but looking completely different now. And I love the way that she's been done up in a very 1950s style. I am in the process of looking for some nice brighter material for the curtains for a backdrop. So stay tuned and you'll be seeing those soon. So to start with this week, I thought I'd give a little personal update, and there's not that much to tell, so it's quite short. I've been mainly working on the podcast, and it's been a big learning curve because, as many of you will know, Kel and I have gone separate ways in terms of the podcast only. She's still a great mate, of course, and her business Listen Up Podcasting is doing brilliantly. But I've taken on the editing as well as all the interviewing and prep, and also decided to upload transcripts to the website each week and to do a YouTube channel, which you may be watching me on now. Not every episode will be on the YouTube channel, mainly because of technical difficulties. If I'm speaking to someone from overseas, it doesn't always record well. I have also had a major drama in the last couple of weeks where my computer has crashed once, put in for repairs, and then crashed again before I could even upload everything. So not real happy with that one at the moment, but I'm hoping I'll get back a brand new fully working version very soon. So I'm just working off my husband's laptop, which has been a little bit of a challenge. But anyway, other than that, I'm doing a read through of my current book that I've been working on for some time now, I have to say, and I really want to get that one done. And my read through at the moment is progressing slowly, but I'm hoping to get that finished and to write the additional scenes and to have the draft done by the end of March. So if you're listening out there, please hold me to that and feel free to nag. I also thought this week I'd give you a little update on some new releases and some other things that are happening. One thing that's been happening on the podcast is we did have an extra Anatomy of a Novel episode come out. Joe Riccioni, fabulous author, fantasy writer, who has a brand new book, The Branded Season, hopefully coming out soon. Shout out to Joe for taking over the Anatomy of a Novel chair this month and interviewing Sam Hawke. So Sam is the author of City of Lies and Hollow Empire, and these books have just gone crazy in the fantasy world, particularly overseas. But you can go to the blog on Rights for Women, and these books are up for giveaway. That does end fairly shortly, so I may even extend that because I don't think many people have heard about that. So if you love fantasy, fantastically written book, and you can catch that interview with Sam Hawke on the podcast. So it's wherever you get your podcasts or on the website. So thanks to Joe and Sam for that episode. I also wanted to give a shout out to some new books that have been coming out in the last month or two, and some that are coming out in March. And I have to say a huge thank you to the publishers and publicists who are sending me these books to potentially to the authors on the podcast. Unfortunately, I can't talk to everyone who has a new book coming out, but I definitely want to give a shout out to these books and let people know that these new releases are out. There'll also be some blogs coming up on the Rights for Women website from some of these authors. I know there's one from Kate Nunn coming soon, and that is open to all authors with, particularly with new releases, who would like to do a guest blog post. First up, there's The Imitator by Rebecca Stafford. Heard great things about this book. It says, what a rare treat to find a novel that offers both white-knuckled suspense and evocative, beautiful prose. I loved it, from Hannah Kent. So great recommendation from Hannah there. So that's one that has come out in the last month or so. Another one, The Royal Correspondent from Alexandra Joel. That looks absolutely gorgeous. I love that cover. And I know there's a lot of Alexandra Joel readers out there who will love that book. This one has a fantastic cover, Honey Blood. Kirsty Everett. Kirsty Everett was going to be an Olympic gymnast, but as she made plans to win gold, life as it does laughed at her goal. Age 9, she was diagnosed with leukemia and spent the next 2.5 years in treatment, attending the funerals of children she met in the cancer ward. So it's sort of a bit of a tearjerker, but I think there's also a lot in there about resilience and courage and overcoming odds. So, you know, fabulous cover and sounds like a really interesting story. Another great historical fiction. This is about Kate Kelly, the daring sister of legendary bushranger Ned Kelly. She was mysteriously found dead in a lagoon outside the New South Wales town of Forbes in 1898. So this is another take, and it's great to see women being featured in history. You know, we know a lot about Ned Kelly, but we haven't always heard a lot about his family, and particularly his mother and sister. So that looks like a great story as well. Another one coming up, and I do have this author coming on the podcast. Look at this cover, absolutely amazing. Susan Johnson from Where I Fell. An anguished email from Pamela Robinson in Australia to her ex-husband in Paris accidentally ends up in the inbox of New York State teacher Chrysanthi Woods. Chrysanthi is sympathetic to Pamela's struggles, and the women begin to tell each other the stories and secrets of their lives. Sounds like one I'm going to love. Susan Johnson, that one is coming out this month. Another one, I just can't get over the gorgeous covers that are coming out at the moment. A brilliant sliding doors reimagining of the passionate life of the first woman to win a Nobel Prize and the life Marie Curie might have led if she had chosen love over science, called Half-Life, fabulous title. And that sounds really intriguing. I think I need to do a speed reading course to catch up so I can read all these fantastic books. And another one with a fab cover, The Mistake. Can one decision change everything? Beck and Kate are sisters, but they couldn't be less alike. Beck lives the domestic dream with her surgeon husband, Stuart, and three perfect children. So why is she so attracted to Free Spirit of Rhine? Intriguing opening hook to the story there, and another one that is out this month. So there are lots of great books coming out, and highly recommend you checking those out on your bookstore shelves or, of course, looking online. So don't forget the book giveaway on the blog, and always keep an eye on Instagram. There's going to be lots of giveaways coming up on Rights for Women. I do want to share the love and share these books around. Because it's impossible for me to read them all, I'm going to be absolutely giving those away and sharing the book love with everybody. Another thing I wanted to talk about quickly was I have revised benefits for everyone. Thank you so much to those people who are supporting Rights for Women on Patreon. If you're not sure what Patreon is, it's actually a subscription sort of service. It doesn't change the fact that Rights for Women goes out every week for free. Anybody can listen to it, doesn't cost a cent. But if you just want to show a little bit of extra support, that just goes towards my time in putting together the podcast in all the ways that it's happening. You can sign up for anywhere between $3 and $7 Australian, and there's various benefits, including everybody who's a Patreon supporter will now get a wisdom from the Convo Couch, monthly curated sort of tips and advice, little quotes taken from each episode over the month. So that's from 4 episodes. You'll get that in your mailbox every month. You'll get a shout out on the podcast. And if you are subscribing at a little bit of a higher level, you also have the opportunity to suggest guests, throw some questions at me for the Ask Pam Anything episode, which is coming up in May, 5th Friday of the month. And the other thing that will be happening is that for the middle and higher tier supporters, I'm going to put together all the transcripts from either the heart, business or craft of writing episodes for one level. And if you're at the highest level, you'll get all of the transcripts collated together and in ebook form, and that'll be in your inbox at the end of the year. So that's going to be a bumper edition. Basically, every interview, the transcript, so much writing wisdom in there. fabulous advice from so many writers across all sorts of areas to do with writing. So that's for those supporters who are supporting the podcast for around $7 Australian. So thank you to everybody who is doing that. You can check out Rights for Women at Patreon via the website, or you can just go to patreon.com/rightsforwomen, WRITES, four number women. So thanks again. Now I'd like to get on to introducing this week's guest. Zoe Lee is a novelist, journalist, creator, and storyteller. She completed her first novel at the age of six on two sheets of A4 paper, and her first audience, her parents, were very impressed. Zoe went on to have her first short story published at age 16. She continued to write across a range of platforms, including print magazines, newspapers, and blogs. In 2018, Zoe's first novel, If He Wakes, a thriller, psychological thriller, was published by Candelo Press. That was followed by The Secretary, a page-turning and compulsive psychological thriller about a school secretary and how dangerous it can be to make enemies at the school gate. Zoe has a wonderful blog on writing and the writing life, but it was her Instagram posts that first caught my eye a few years ago now. She lives in the Lakes District in the UK and posts the most amazing book photos, often outdoors in this beautiful setting that's just outside her window. Her Instagram following has skyrocketed from just a couple of thousand to over 10,000 in the last couple of years, which is why I've invited her to be a guest on the blog today. To talk in this business of writing episode. Okay, Zoe Lee, welcome to Writes for Women.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. There's so much I want to chat to you about today, but I really want to start with your writing history. And in your bio, we find out that you started writing as a child, but can you walk us through what your path to publication has been?
Yeah, it's been a long one. So I started writing when I was a child, as many people do. Always loved writing, loved books. And then when I was at school, I was obsessed with these magazines that had the short stories in. They were like romance magazines, you know, boy meets girl, and I just devoured them. And my English teacher at the time said, you know, you should have a go at writing one because you're writing all the time. So I did, and miraculously I sent it off to the magazine and they wanted to publish it. So that was just, you know, amazing. I was 16 and I had a short story published in a magazine and never even considered to be a published author, but my English teacher, you know, encouraged me to do it. So I wrote for the magazine for a couple of years until it folded, and then I was doing college and, you know, doing my studies and whatnot. So I still wrote but didn't send anything off. I was kind of doing a lot of flash fiction, just journaling, writing like that. And then I think the next time in a professional sense was when I wanted to do factual articles. And then I started writing. I was training to be a teacher at the time, so I did a lot of educational articles, but I just couldn't leave fiction alone. And I was doing a lot of young adult stuff at the time and getting up a nice pile of rejections. And then one of the feedback I got was, you should try, you know, writing for adults. This would make a good adult story. So I toyed around with that, but I didn't really get anywhere. And then it wasn't until I sort of thought, right, now I need to do this seriously now. And so I took Curtis Brown online creative writing course. And from there, began a writing practice, if you like, began to take it seriously, got myself an agent. And then a few years later, got myself published. So that's it in a nutshell.
Great. That's so good. And I've heard a lot about that Curtis Brown course. A few authors I've spoken to have done that course and have, you know, ended up being published. So it sounds like that was a really worthwhile thing to do.
Oh yeah, it was great. It was really good. I didn't know what to expect from it really, but the main thing that I got from it was that I was being treated and treating myself as a proper writer, whatever that is. Like, you know, I was just taking it seriously. People were critiquing my work. I was helping other writers with theirs. And the confidence it gave me, just the confidence was the biggest thing that I came away with. It was really, really good.
That's fantastic. And, of course, that confidence is so important, isn't it? Because it's easy to have that battered around with your writing. So that sounds like a really positive move for you. And so you had your agent, you were writing. What about the actual publication of your novel? How did that come about, the first novel?
Yeah, so the agent took me on. The book was in a poor state. So she said, like, we need to really work on this, but I can see something there. So I worked with my agent for a while, did quite a few rewrites, and then she put it out to the publishers. It got a couple of foreign rights deals, and then Canelo came forward and said, you know, we'd love to publish this. I was just overjoyed. It was brilliant.
Can you tell us a little bit about Canelo? Because I hadn't heard of them until I'd done a little bit of research on you and your writing, and they sound like a fairly new publisher. Are they mainly digital first, or how do they operate?
They are fantastic, yeah. It was only going to be an ebook. It was always just like, you know, we do ebooks. We've got a great marketing plan. They were brilliant people, and, you know, they had it all out and everything. But then last year, they actually published it in paperback format. So I think they are going into paperbacks and stuff like that. But I always ever only thought that that book, If He Wakes, was only going to be like an ebook. So obviously I was overjoyed when they said actually would like to make it a paperback, because it was such a wonderful experience just having the whole thing done, you know, and working with them on my book and coming up with a cover and, you know, tour and everything else. It was just a really, really lovely experience.
And just to hold that actual book in your hand, it's different to the ebook, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that book, Zoe, is, I think, like your second one, would you call it a psychological thriller?
Yes, I think that's what they come under, psychological thriller, yeah.
What draws you to that genre? What do you love about writing that genre?
Do you know, I think it's because I love reading those books. And whenever I write anything, I've tried to write sort of romance and stuff, but I can't help myself from taking the darker turn. It's like everything seems to be going fine, and then what if this happened, or what if this went wrong? I just can't stop myself from doing it. And so I think it's because I love reading those, and because I love, I don't know, the drama of it, I suppose. I just enjoy writing them so much.
And that's great. Like, if you love reading something, it's always wonderful to then dive in and have a go at writing it too. So it sounds like you've found your preferred genre, yeah, anyway, for writing for the time being. So you have been published twice now with Canelo. Your second book, The Secretary, has come out in the last couple of years, and you're well on the way with your publishing career. How has that experience been for you, you know, since you had that first book published? What have you learned, and what skills have you had to develop in that time as an author, in addition to the actual writing?
The second book was actually published by Apiatchus. So that was a different experience as well, at The Secretary. And what have I learned? You have to write every day, whether you want to or you don't want to. You've got deadlines. You've got people waiting. Also, there's a whole other side of it that I knew about but wasn't really that prepared for. And then there's kind of selling yourself as an author, which nobody really prepares you for, I don't think. You think you can go away and write it, and then you'll have this finished book, and the publishers will take it out and all the rest of it. But there's so much more, I think, that you have to do as an author.
So how did you go about developing those skills? Because, as I said, your Instagram in particular is really quite impressive, right? And that, I guess, is what, you know, introduced me to you as an author. How did you actually find out about Instagram, and how did you then learn more about it and how to go about using it as an author?
So I was already sort of fairly obsessed with Instagram before, you know, the books got published or whatever. The Bookstagram community on Instagram is wonderful. The people on there just sharing books, talking about reading, talking about writing, just a lovely, lovely community. So after the book initially got published, This If He Wakes, I started to think, oh, I should sort of use social media in a way that allows me to speak to the readers, but sort of to promote my books as well, or I don't know, just to get something out there. So because I was getting a lot of messages and comments from people saying, oh, I've read your book, it was so good, and blah, blah, blah. And it was nice to have a platform where I could converse with them and also, you know, just speak to other writers and other readers. So I started to do that in a more serious way, because I think the main thing with any social media platform is consistency, because it's all algorithms. So if you post every day at a certain time, it sort of realizes, oh, the post is coming up. And also people realize that you're going to post at this time, so they'll come and see you at this, see what you've posted. Yeah. So I started to post every day, replying to comments, commenting on other people's posts. And it kind of just built up from there. And it was also really enjoyable as well. It wasn't hard work. It was just easy to do because, you know, if I was reading a book or whatever, and, you know, it was easy to take a picture of it and then talk about it. And so it kind of grew from there. And from there, I think it was like publishers that said, oh, you need a website as well. It can just be a page. But I thought, oh, no, I think I'll put a blog in there as well. And you have to be careful, because all of that can take over the actual writing time. So it's a balance between spending time on that and spending time on, you know, writing the books.
How do you find that balance, Zoe? Do you say to yourself, right, I'm only going to do X number of hours on the blog or on Instagram or whatever? Or are you a pretty disciplined person and you just force yourself onto the next thing? How do you manage that?
I don't think I manage it very well, in all honesty. I don't think I'm doing a great job. It's hard because, you know, you can get on Instagram and think, I'm only going to be 10 minutes. And then a half an hour later, you're still scrolling or chatting with somebody. And so it's difficult. I don't think I've got that sorted. But I suppose I try to just give, you know, a set amount of time to social or the blog. But I find that if the writing's going really well and I'm in an exciting part of the book, it's very easy to let that drop and, you know, let the other side go. So it's a real balance keeping them both together. It's difficult.
So can you just walk us through from when you decided, okay, I'm already on Instagram, but I'm really going to try now and use it, you know, to help promote my books and to promote my author platform, that sort of thing. What steps did you take then to try and have more of a presence? You mentioned posting at every day around the same time. What other things did you do then to try and increase your presence, which actually resulted in you gaining quite a lot of followers?
So I remember thinking, well, if Instagram's going to fit in with my life, I have to take pictures of where I am and what I'm doing. Lucky enough to live in the Lake District, which is in England, which is absolutely beautiful. You go anywhere out of my door and the scenery is just gorgeous. So I'm really, really lucky that that's all around me. And so I did think, right, well, I like reading outdoors in, you know, the Lake District. I like writing outdoors. And it was when I combined the two that things really took off. I think also it was just like an authentic thing because I was just going out and I'd have like a bit of a hike, walk, and then I think, right, I'll sit here and I've always got a book with me. So it was when I started to take pictures of outside with the book and that just seemed to take off. And it was also, I suppose, because it was, like I say, posting every day, putting a bit of thought into what I was posting and the captions as well, because Instagram's captions, you can have a full blog post in there. It's so lovely. So it's just sort of putting a bit of time and thinking, what do I want to write about? What is the people who are, you know, following me, what are they gaining from this? You know, so what can I tell them that they've come away with something? It was just that kind of approach to it rather than thinking, oh, I'll just do a quick selfie and then, or a quick, you know, picture of the cover of my book and say, buy this out now. It was just thinking about it from a different perspective.
So it's almost like a little mini blog post, isn't it, that you're doing?
Yeah. I think it's important to think what value you're providing for those people who have given up their time, who are looking at your posts, who have come to visit your page. So yeah, if you think about it like a little blog, then yeah, it changes the way that you handle the app and what your output is.
And a lot of your posts, Zoe, are a book post. You've got those gorgeous pictures of the scenery with the books and then the scenery in the background, more so than really writing posts, would you say?
Yes, yeah, I would, because I think it's because I just love reading. And I suppose when I'm doing a writing post, I suffer from imposter syndrome. And so I think that thing of like, oh, I'm writing, yeah, but oh, you don't want to hear about that. Let's talk about this book instead. When really I do need to put more of those in, I think.
Yeah. But then by doing those book posts, you are connecting with readers, aren't you? Which is really important because you want to find readers for your writing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's it. So I'm connecting with a lot of readers, but a lot of readers are also readers. So I think the main thing is you've just got to post what you love. Otherwise, it becomes such a chore. And the last thing you want, oh, I've got to go and post on Instagram or I've got to do a Facebook post or whatever. So I think the best way to approach it is make sure you enjoy it and then you know, it won't be hard work.
And back when you started to develop, I guess, what's become your style now on Instagram, is there a particular post that stands out for you that you remember thinking, oh, wow, you know, that you got a great reaction to and that then encouraged you to continue down that path?
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember it. I was out and it was just twilight. I remember, like, you know, the golden hour as it is. And I thought, oh, I'll just take a picture of, and it didn't seem that it was like going to be a huge picture or whatever, but it was just with the open book. You could see the landscape in the distance and the hills and the book was open. You could just see my hand and I took a picture of it. And I thought, oh yeah, that's nice. Like, you know, you can see the ring, you can see the book, put it up, didn't think too much of it. And it had like, I think about 2000 likes, which my likes normally about 100 if I was lucky, 200. So it just kind of took off. And so I thought, oh, it's a fluke. It's just a fluke. work, it's the hashtags I've used or whatever. And then a couple of days later, I thought, oh, I'll just try another one, see, you know, so I did it again, just the same. And that really started building. I think it was the combination of the scenery and the open book. And I love taking those pictures as well. And so I think it was that point where it all sort of snowballed.
And can you talk to us a bit about hashtags? They're a great way, aren't they, for people to find you on Instagram. How important do you think they are? And how do you go about finding those hashtags that are going to connect you to, you know, the people that you want to see your posts?
I think hashtags used to be very important, but Instagram's changing all the time. But I still use hashtags because, you know, you don't know how important they are from one day to the next. But I think that they're definitely worth using. So I always use about 15 of them, and I always use different ones. I have like a little group of them that I know that if I go to that hashtag, I'm going to find people who are like-minded. So if I go to sort of Bookstagram, I know that I'll get a load of pictures of people. However, it's important to say that you want to use hashtags that aren't oversaturated. So Bookstagram, for instance, has got, you know, a huge amount of people using that hashtag. It's better to use hashtags that are less popular, and then you've more chance of being found by other people who are browsing those hashtags as well. So it is important to do a little bit of research on your hashtags. But if you are using Instagram and you're enjoying it, you'll probably browse those hashtags yourself anyway. So I always think, what hashtags am I drawn to? If I see something and I think, oh, that's a quirky one, like, you know, cozy reading spot, I think, oh, let's have a look at these. I think, oh, well, I'll use that hashtag in mine because it appeals to me. So that's basically how I use them.
Mm. So it's a matter of really keeping your eyes open, seeing what other people are using, how many people do follow a hashtag, and continually adjusting, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's changing all the time. So it's important to just keep up with it, have a look, keep changing your hashtags as well. And you don't want anything to get stale. So, yeah, it's important to keep looking and keep seeing what's fresh.
Mm. And Zoe, can you pin down what it is about your posts that your followers love?
I get quite a few messages saying that people find my posts quite calming, and they like to sort of look at them because they find them quite, you know, serene and calm. And so I've always kept to a kind of image and look that's just like books, cozy places to read, nice places to write, somewhere that's peaceful. And I always try and keep that in mind when I'm taking a picture or when I'm writing a cap, but it's only about those things. I try and keep it as my happy place. I wouldn't suddenly start posting, you know, a messy kitchen sink and going, oh, I've got to deal with today, because it just doesn't fit in with the rest of my feed. So I always try and keep it that a bit of an escapism, a bit like opening your favorite book. You want to just escape from the day to day. So I've tried to keep my feed like that. And I think that's what appeals to people.
Do you find that hard? Are you tempted sometimes to take another photo and you think, oh, I really want to put this on Instagram? And you think, no, it doesn't fit in with my grid or the rest of my feed. Is that sometimes a bit of a challenge for you?
Sometimes, but I do that on stories. And I think that Instagram stories are wonderful for that, because on Instagram stories, you don't have to be that precious or think, oh, I'll keep it like this. So yeah, I have photographed, you know, kitchen and gone, you know, not much time for reading today, look what I've got to deal with. So yeah, and that's where I put all that stuff on store.
Yeah, stories are great, and there's reels now, of course, as well.
Yeah, reels as well. Yeah,
are you doing much with reels? Have you started using those very much?
I've done a couple, but I'm not as much as I should, because I know that Instagram are really pushing the reels, but I haven't done too many. I've done some, but it's something that I want to get more into. But again, it's the time. It's just the time that it takes. And like I say, if I'm not careful, I can get sucked into that and just spend a whole full morning, you know, doing that, because it's so much fun. But yeah, I've not done as much as I should.
So just with that whole aesthetic and the look of it, would you say that it is important to have that consistency in your grid? You know, you read all this stuff about Instagram and how to use it and the grid and having the consistent look. Would you say that's important?
I think it is important, because I think that you've got two to three seconds before somebody decides whether they're going to follow you or not. So if you want to portray a certain image, or this is what I'm doing, this is who I am, then obviously it works to your favor to have a consistent grid where all your pictures are of a similar theme. However, having said that, if your Instagram feed is something where it's just reflecting your day-to-day life and how it is, then that's also a theme in itself, if you see what I mean, because people can take a quick look at that and think, oh, I'm getting all the nuts and bolts here. Yes, I'll follow this person. I think it's when you mix the two and it becomes a bit of a mishmash that people just sort of, oh, I'm not following that because I don't know what it is. As long as it's clear, yeah. I think you've only got about 3 seconds, they say.
I think that's a good tip. And Zoe, your followers have increased over the last few years. You've got over 10,000 followers now. Is that correct?
Yes, just over 10,000, yeah.
And how many years have you been actively using Instagram as an author platform and a book platform? How many years has that increase taken?
Oh, quite a few years. Let me think. I would say about 2 or 3 years. Yeah, a few years. Certainly didn't happen overnight.
But it's still a lot of followers, isn't it, in that time?
Yeah, I was pretty pleased to get over that 10,000.
So I guess a couple of things from that. Firstly, what sort of opportunities have come your way as a result of having increased followers? Have you found that it's been an advantage for you? And also, how has it impacted in terms of your book sales? Would you say that it's actually helped your book sales?
It's a really hard thing to quantify whether it's helped my book sales. And being perfectly honest, I don't know that it's had a huge impact. It's so hard to judge. However, I do get some lovely messages from people like all over the world. Like I had one recently for somebody in Nepal who would, I don't know whether she would ever have known about my books had she not been an Instagram follower. So it's such a hard thing to quantify.
Yeah.
For me, I just really enjoy doing it. I think if you're approaching it as like, I'm going to do this to sell more books, I think there's much more effective ways to go about that rather than just building up an Instagram following. However, you know, when my next book is out or when I've got something, you know, published or something that I want to share with my followers, it is really great to have that platform there and knowing that I can just pick up my phone and get in contact with them at any time to say, you know, this is on sale at this price, or I've got this out, or this is coming up. And so it's handy in that way, but I can't say for definite, it's had a massive, on book sales, it's had a massive, you know, influence over that.
What other benefits do you think it's given you? I mean, it is a really creative platform. As you say, you really enjoy connecting with people. Is there anything else that you would say that you've, you know, been able to get from it?
Yeah, that's the main thing that I get from it, connecting with other writers and other readers. I've made some really great friends from it. That's what I take away from it. It's like a little pocket friend that you can take anywhere. So that's the best thing for me. The other things that I've got from it is, I suppose, brands getting in contact with me. You know, they just get in contact and say, would you like to work with us on this, or job opportunities that way, you know, when they're looking for, I don't know, photographs or a bit of copywriting or things like that. A few opportunities like that have popped up, but nothing remarkable. The main thing is just connecting with other people for me.
And I imagine that you would have more people, because I know I've done it myself. I'll click on, you know, a post that you've had, which is connected to a blog that you've written, and then I'll click through to read that blog post. So I imagine it's increased your blog reading as well, people reading your blog.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I've not even thought to say that, but yes, you're right. Yes, it has absolutely can help my blog build up. There was a post that I did just after I got quite a few followers on the open book one that I was talking about previously, and I thought, I'll do a blog post just describing exactly how I did it and, you know, sharing that. And that was the highest blog visits I'd ever had, and they all came through the Instagram link. So yeah, it was really effective with that.
So it is a good way, if you want to encourage people to visit your blog or your website, that's a really good way to do it, is to post and then have links.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose if I was a bit more, I don't know, I want to say professional, but had more time with it, I would do that more. I would sort of blog post. Yes, in fact, this is what I'm going to do. It's my resolution. I'm going to get on with it, to do a blog post every week or something, and then do it on Instagram and click the link through and get a newsletter out properly and all of that. Yes, I should be doing all of that.
Yeah, again, it's that time thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, especially at the moment when I've got, you know, the kids at home and then you've got the writing that needs to be done. It's just really tricky trying to have time for it all.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to ask you, Zoe, well, actually, the next question I have for you is, what would be your, say, top 3 or 4 tips for someone who is maybe a new author or is an author who is new to the platform of Instagram? What would you suggest they do to sort of set themselves up on Instagram and to then be able to build a bit of a following and make those connections?
Okay, I would say post consistently, post at the same time if possible every day. I would also say try and approach Instagram as a social platform. Don't just think, oh, I'm going to set this up and I'm going to get loads of followers and, you know, that's it. Remember, you've got to go and see other authors, other readers, post on other people's posts, like other people's posts, and then that in turn that will attract them to your feed and grid. So make sure that you're chatting, that you're replying to comments, that you're commenting on other people. And the other thing I would say is that just try and have a bit of forethought before you go ahead and post. And just think, try and see it from a reader's, you know, as if you were visiting that rather than just putting out there and think, what am I giving to this person who's spending time, their time, looking at my page, looking at my grid, reading my caption? What are they going to take away from it? Is it going to be like a little tip that I'm going to share or a joke or just a nice little story? Just think what value you're providing and then have fun and just try not to make it hard work, because I think it always comes across if somebody's like, oh, I don't want to post today, and they just made a post. So try not to take it too seriously and just have fun.
Yeah, they're great tips, Zoe. And I love that attitude of thinking about what you can give to other people. It's not necessarily about what you're going to get out of it, like you say, in terms of book sales, but it's about what you're providing, like you're providing a service almost on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a lot more gratifying that way as well. So, yeah.
It is a sense then too that you are definitely part of this whole community, because like you say, it's a strong writing community on Instagram. It's a strong reading community. So by doing that and sort of sharing something with other people, it really is forming that connection, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you get a lot more out of it. I know I do that way. I don't think I would have carried on if I didn't have the conversations, if I hadn't met the people, because you wouldn't be getting anything from it. But, you know, if you go in with that thinking, oh, I'm going to chat with other people, build a community, then you'll want to join in with that because you'll have friends there who you're chatting about with what books you've read and different things. So I think coming at it from that angle is the best way.
Yeah, for sure. Well, speaking of books, your last book that you had out, which you said was with Piatticus, the secretary, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that's about a school secretary. It's a primary school secretary. And she makes a silly mistake and then sort of has a lot of trouble from that mistake. So thinks, you know, I'm going to stand up for myself. And then it all goes a bit wrong and gets quite dark.
So another psychological thriller. And has that one been out? That one been out in both ebook and paperback as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Brilliant. So people would be able to find that if they'd be interested in reading it online. Is that the best place?
Absolutely. Just should be able to find it online. I know it's on Amazon, or, you know, most bookstores. So, yeah, should be able to get that online.
Well, Zoe, apart from your social media skills, which we've concentrated on a lot in this interview, of course, you are a very accomplished writer. So what would be your top writing tips for writers out there in terms of getting the writing done and then getting their work out there?
The main thing I would say is what changed for me is to just take a different approach to your writing and give it the respect that you know it deserves. So you don't have to write every day, but do something towards your book every day, be it research or just thinking about it. And the other thing I would say is make sure you finish whatever you're working on before starting another project. That was always my worst. I'd go sort of to the middle of a book and then have a great idea for the next book and I would never have anything finished. But I think it's important to keep on, finish what you've got, so you've got something to work with instead of like a million half-formed books.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say is to make sure that you, that you don't let the voice in your head that tells you, oh, what you're writing is terrible, you can't write today, this is awful. Just make sure that that is silenced quite a bit and allow yourself just to think, I'm just going to write. It doesn't have to be perfect. I'm just going to write. Because there's all writing and rewriting. But if you don't start writing and you don't finish, you won't have anything to work with. So I would say that those were the top things.
They're great tips, Zoe. And are you working on another book now?
I am, yes. I'm just halfway through the first draft. But, yeah, I'm very excited about it. And it's another psychological thriller. I can't say too much about it, but, yeah, I'm very, very excited about it. I'm happy with it.
And, of course, you're in the UK and still in lockdown. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, still in lockdown, yeah.
And homeschooling?
Yes, homeschooling. I've got a 7-year-old and a 17-year-old. So, yes, homeschooling every day as well as trying to get everything else done. So it's a bit of a nightmare, but, you know, we'll get through it.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Well, I hope that you stay, you know, safe and that the writing goes well for you. And thanks so much for sharing all your advice, particularly on Instagram. And I'm going to put up a link to your website because I just wanted everyone to know you do have some fabulous blog posts on there about all sorts of aspects of writing, not just social media or Instagram. So there's some really great stuff there that people can jump on and have a look at.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it's been lovely to talk to you. Thanks ever so much for inviting me on.
Oh, it's been great chatting, Zoe, and we'll see you on Instagram.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, see you on Instagram.
Thanks, Zoe. Bye-bye.
I hope you've enjoyed my chat with this week's guest. If you did, I'd love it if you could add a quick rating or review wherever you get your podcasts so others can more easily find the episodes. Don't forget to check out the backlist on the Rights for Women website. So much great writing advice in the library, and you can find the transcript of today's chat on the website too. And you can connect with me through the website at rightsforwomen.com, on Instagram and Twitter at W4WPodcast, the Facebook page Rights for Women, or find me and my writing at pamelacook.com.au. Thanks for listening, have a great week, and remember, every word you write, you're one word closer to typing the end.